This Scoops is proudly produced by News Scoop.
Good day to you. Welcome to Biz Scoops for business news, local and international. I'm Barry Moran. On today's show, South Africa's Trade Department has proposed new regulations to help exporters cope with the 30% US tariffs. And South Africa is facing a wave of international companies downsizing or exiting the country. The economist Waldo Krichel talks about the various indicators and the national dialogue. And the international business news, UK companies gain access to Indian's government procurement market. In investment news, precious metals are one of the safest investment bets this year. And we'll check in with Chris Hutting from the Center for Risk Analysis to talk more about the US tariffs on South African exports.
A look now at local business news.
South Africa's Trade Department has proposed new regulations to help exporters cope with the 30% US tariffs. Companies may coordinate shipping, marketing, infrastructure, and negotiate export protocol without violating antitrust laws. The measures aim to reduce economic impact and support the growth of South African exports. The tariffs threaten thousands of jobs in the agriculture and the automotive sectors. All collaborations must be approved by the competition authorities to ensure compliance. The regulations are open for public comment and will remain in place for 5 years. Reserve Bank Governor Lesetša Kanyago has defended his push for a 3% inflation target, saying it could lower country risk, reduce debt cost, and curb price volatility. Speaking after Finance Minister Enoch Godongwana criticized the move, Kanyago said 9 straight months of inflation near 3% made it an opportunity not to be missed. The current 3-6% band has been in place for 25 years. He believes a lower target could cut the neutral policy rate from 7.25% to about 5.25%. Easing government borrowing cost and helping stabilize South Africa's debt. And South Africa is facing a wave of international companies downsizing or exiting the country. Firms including Bain & Company, HSBC, IG Group, Tupperware, Anglo American, Shell and Hensoldt are cutting operations due to weak economic growth, a volatile rand and global uncertainty. While some multinationals like Microsoft and Meta continue investing, others are focusing on core markets. Key sectors affected include finance, consulting, mining, manufacturing, and defense, raising concerns over the country's ability to attract foreign investment. We now have the president of the Economic Society of South Africa, Professor Waldo Krichel, on the line with us. Waldo, there's a mix of economic news in the past week to keep an eye on. Can you tell us more?
APSA and the Bureau's Purchasing Managers Index for July came in just above the neutral point at 50.8 points. It appears that both domestic and international demand were stronger in July and new sales orders increased. There is still considerable uncertainty that has manufacturers worried, and the outlook for business activity over the next 6 months has weakened. S&P Global's index, which also includes the services sector, stands at 50.3 points, also supported by domestic demand. Statistics South Africa released June's manufacturing production and sales data, showing 1.9% year-on-year growth. However, this has more to do with how badly things were going last year in June than with how good the past June was. Month on month, there was no change in production volumes. Manufacturers are mostly just treading water. In other news, it appears that the National Dialogue Initiative is losing momentum. Several of the foundations have withdrawn from the coming weekend's national convention over concerns that the discussion will be dominated by the ANC wing of government. I suspect my own invitation to say something about opportunity cost may still be at the post office.
Thanks very much, Professor Waldo Krichel, President of the Economic Society of South Africa. He's also an economics associate at the Northwest University's Business School. If you'd like to hear more from Prof. Krichel, you can listen to his daily podcast called The Economic Minute on Spotify or Anchor FM.
Time now to take a look at your international business news.
An India-UK free trade agreement now allows UK companies unprecedented access to India's government procurement market. Around 40,000 high-value contracts worth 38 billion euro in sectors like transport, green energy and infrastructure are open to British bidders. While UK firms gain near equal status with the local suppliers and can bid on smaller projects, experts warn challenges remain, including preferential treatment for Indian companies, higher UK pricing, delayed payments, and complex contract enforcement. The move signals India's willingness to liberalize procurement and encourage competition.
Coming up next, our investment segment delves into the world of finance and wealth building.
Precious metals are powering South Africa's stock market this year, with gold and platinum miners posting spectacular gains. Sibanye-Stillwater has surged 161%, Anglo Gold Ashanti 151%, and Gold Fields and Northern Platinum 128%, helping the JSE All Share Index surpass 101,200 points. Analysts told MoneyWeb that geopolitical tensions, central bank stockpiling, and a strong demand for platinum in manufacturing are driving the rally. Mining stocks now account for the majority of the JSE's year-to-date growth, making precious metals one of the safest investment bets this year. Before we say goodbye, we're joined by the head of policy analysis at the Center for Risk Analysis, Chris Hutting. Chris, thanks for joining us. With President Ramaphosa admitting that South Africa's economy is in a state of emergency, but insisting the ANC continue its current policy approach, is the government's economic strategy adapting to reality or simply doubling down on ideology?
At this point in time, it is not clear that the government is willing to move on vested interests nor on ideological issues that are key to address South Africa's economic decline, with President Ramaphosa admitting that South Africa's economy is in a quote-unquote state of emergency. We'll see if the rhetoric matches actions, but right now the incentives are not yet strong enough for the ANC specifically to change its current policy approach.
Is the government's economic policy framework itself the main obstacle to restoring investor confidence and securing better trade terms?
It is without a doubt the biggest issue facing South Africa's economic reform and possible improvement, that it is government's economic policy framework itself that is the main obstacle to restoring investor confidence and securing better trade terms. If one looks at the deteriorating relationship with the US, the US has regularly cited non-economic or rather political issues that it feels South Africa needs to address from a domestic point of view. And given that there has not yet been movement from the government, specifically from the ANC, in addressing those issues, it is unlikely that the broader relationship with the US is going to improve anytime soon.
Is there any outside chance that the tariffs could be overturned on the back of a legal challenge in the US?
There is a small possibility that US tariffs could be overturned on the back of various legal challenges in the US, but for the time being, those tariffs are in place, and for South African exporters specifically, they should not hinge their future hopes and business models completely on hoping or assuming that those tariffs will be overturned. The Trump administration can implement tariffs in a variety of ways, so even if some of the tariffs are struck down by the courts, perhaps those that were implemented more by executive order, the current US administration will probably try to implement tariffs in a different way in any case.
And that was Chris Hunting from the Center for Risk Analysis. Thanks for joining us today. We'll be back next week with more business news, local and international, on Biz Scoops. I'm Barry Murray. Goodbye.
And this was another edition of BizScoops, proudly produced by News Scoop.